He saw it was blurred newspapers. On some he could still read the word iron, on others fist. The fragments of someone's days. They had a print shop somewhere here as well, didn't they? Dietmar hadn't been lying. He seriously intended to print 10,000 bricks of correct history. The station came to an end, and the tunnel started again. He'd thought through various ways of getting past the guard post and what lies to tell there, but he didn't get a chance for any lies. The men on watch weren't the scatterbrained police guards, but the taciturn graven images of the order. So they wouldn't shoot him. He shouted to tell them that he was Artyom, on his way to see Miller. They approached him distrustfully, slapped the pockets of his jester's outfit, and seemed to recognize him, but didn't take off their own masks. They took the Nagant, then led him through the service corridors in order not to disconcert the air-headed local citizens. But they didn't take him to Miller. A door into some little box of a room. Bars. Guards. They led him in and shoved him viciously in the back, like strangers. But inside, there was joy. All alive. Lyocha, Letyaga, Homer, and even for some reason Ilya Stepanovich. They complimented Artyom on not having died, on looking much fresher and on being dolled up so smartly. They laughed and hugged each other. He discovered that they had all been raked in back there at Svetnoy Boulevard. After all, it was only two stations from Polis, and one of the Order's soldiers had gone to shag the girls and recognized both Letyaga and Lyocha. They'd taken Homer and the worthless Ilya Stepanovich for good measure. They were having supper together, and hadn't split in time.
"And you? Where were you?"
Artyom paused, gathered his thoughts. He looked dubiously at Ilya Stepanovich, the Führer's darling, and then he realized that this shouldn't be kept secret from anyone. Secrets were their weapon, but Artyom's was telling it like it is. He dumped it all on them. Everything. The bunker, the tavern, the salads, the shots of vodka, the fat drunks in suits, the antibiotics, the wax Stalin, the inexhaustible electricity, the foreign bottles, and what lay behind them. The puppets on strings, the wars of fools, the slimy affection of the security services, the necessary famine, the necessary cannibalism, the necessary skirmishes in blind tunnels, the necessary and ever-present invisible observers. He told all of it to them. And himself. And he himself was surprised by the neat way everything lined up, how well it all seemed to knit together. There was nothing useless in this building of Besseloff's, nothing inexplicable. All questions received an answer. Apart from one. What for?
In other words, while we chew on shit here, down there they eat sowards?
Lyocha wheezed in a sudden fit of hatred.
Drink foreign vodka? And the meat's probably a bit fresher than ours? Huh?
And they don't finish up their food. There are plates full of leftovers standing there. And down there, they were probably guzzling then too. Guzzling, at the precise time when we were with all the others, at Komsomol Station, facing the bullets.
"Bastards," said Lyocha. "What bastards? And medical care, you say?"
"Can't see for yourself. Look, they put me back on my feet. I don't know for how long, but see what I mean?"
"I see. But we have a different kind of medical care here, White. The kind where they grab a man by the balls and tell him, 'Crawl to the graveyard yourself, man. We can't do anything to help with your cancer anyway.' That's the way we get treated, of all the rotten bastards."
Homer stood there without saying anything. He couldn't believe something like this with the same eager speed as Lyocha.
"But why do they treat us like shit, then?"
the apostle asked.
"If we're in the shit, everyone should be in the shit. There shouldn't be some in it up to their necks, while others carve up their sourds with table knives? And where was this bunker? Maybe we should flood it, eh?
They put a bag over my head when we left, and I was unconscious on the way there. I don't know where it is.
But I've been there, in that museum, said Homer. I was there before the war, on a guided tour. Its full name was the Tagansky PCC, Protected Command Center. Tagansky because it was right there on Taganskaya Square. There was one entrance from the street, the old Moscow side streets beside the Moscow River. Old mansion houses, and one mansion with two stories, that's really a dummy. They explained to us at the time that behind the wall there was a concrete cap to protect the lift shaft against bombs. 20 stories down, and there was the bunker. And yes, it was all just as you describe it. The neon light, the restaurant, the refurbishment.
But how do they get into the metro?
There was an exit, not just one, to a station, Taganskaya, in fact, and into a tunnel to the Circle Line.
Taganskaya Station? But that's only 2 stations away from Komsomol, said Artyom. Only 2. Surely they must have heard the shouting and screaming. If we heard it even up on the surface.
The invisible observers.
Homer shook his head.
It would be better if the Emerald City had turned out to be real.
We can shake them out of there, Artyom said ardently. Force them out. Drive them into the metro. Show these creeps to the people. Let them confess for themselves. Let Besolov confess that they've been lying for all these years. Let them say that there is a world on the surface and we're just dying down here for nothing. Let them order their men to turn off the jammers. We really can pull the whole thing off. There aren't many guards there. We just have to work out how to get inside.
But where did they get so much coab from?
Leocha asked.
Depots, state storage facilities. But I think they take some from the metro, too, from Hansa. They've got Hansa in their pocket. They've got everyone in their pocket. The Reds drive their prisoners out to their construction sites. Hansa feeds them on the order. It cleans up after them. Do you know about that? Eh, Latyaga?
No. He was looking past Artyom at the wall.
And Miller?
I don't think so.
We have to tell him.
You can tell him. You'll get your chance.
Has he spoken to you? Have you seen him at all?
Yes. There's going to be a court-martial. In other words, he'll decide for himself, and Anzor will sign on the dotted line. Desertion. Basically for that I should get... And Leocha, too. He was sort of taken on as one of us, so he has to answer for it. And now you as well. You know what the penalty is. The max.
Well, as for me, that wasn't what my mama had me in for. Actually, she prophesied a great future.
Leocha informed them.
What about you?
Artyom asked Homer. Why did they pick you up?
I'm classified as a witness.
Homer shrugged.
What did I do? Miller doesn't even remember me. Maybe they'll let me go.
A witness? Artyom repeated. Do you think he needs witnesses? I'm not exactly a deserter either. If we don't convince him, if he turns pig-headed, we're all done for.
What about Ilya?
Artyom turned round and looked at Ilya Stepanovich. He was sitting on the cold floor with his eyes fixed on Artyom. Their glances met and he came to his senses.
Is it all true? About the Reich? About Yevgeny Petrovich? About his daughter?
There was an envelope with photographs. I held it in my own hands. And that's what Besolov said. I think it's true.
He ran away. The Führer ran away.
I know. Now they're searching for him. Want to bring him back. They say they'll build a new Reich here, all of them together.
I had a daughter, too,
said Ilya Stepanovich, gulping with a dry throat.
And they took her away, And you say he kept his daughter? For himself?
Artyom nodded. Ilya Stepanovich hid behind his knees in a shell.
Can they really still be there?
Said Homer.
Right until now, the state authorities, and they run the whole metro.
Yes, they do. But that's what makes them vulnerable. If we can smoke them out of there, arrest them, we can let everyone out at last. Onto the surface. We can all go out, eh?
Well, yes.
We just have to convince Miller, explain to him how they pulled the wool over his eyes, too. They pondered for a while, each focused on his own thoughts, probably. Feet scraped in the corridor. A tiny window at face height grated open. A figure appeared behind the wire grill. It wasn't tall enough.
Artyom!
He shuddered. Walked over to the door. Whispered.
Anya? Why did you come here? What have you come back for? He'll get rid of you.
I have to get my guys out. And I want to see your father. One more time, the last time. Talk to him. He doesn't know everything. He won't. He'll change his mind. I just need to talk to him, can you ask?
I can't do anything. He doesn't listen to me anymore.
I need to explain to him. You tell him that. About the invisible observers.
Listen, he's arranged a trial today. There'll be a comrades' court instead of a court-martial.
A comrades' court?
Letiaga asked with a start.
What does he want that circus for?
Yes, what for? Artyom asked.
I don't know,
Anya said in a broken voice.
Because of me. He wants everyone to condemn you. All of you. So it's not just his personal decision.
Aneshka, let him do it. A comrade's court is good. It's good everyone will be there. Let them listen. I'll tell all of them. Then we'll see who comes out on top. Don't worry. Thanks for telling me.
It won't do any good. More than half of them are from Hansa. They'll vote the way they're supposed to, even if all of ours... They won't have enough votes.
But we'll give it a try. Give it a try. Thank you for coming. I was wondering how I could get to talk to the boys, and now here he himself. He's giving me a chance.
Hey, Anya,
someone hissed in the corridor.
Cut it out.
Artyom.
The little shutter slid shut. Anya disappeared. They took her away.
Listen, we can do this. Letiaga, do you hear me? If you back me up, it will all work out.
How?
Veselov has to come for Sasha soon, to Tsvetnoy Boulevard. If we just have even a few fighting men, he always has only a couple of bodyguards with him. We'll take him, deliver him to the bunker, to Taganskaya Station, Varkitai Gorod. And the bunker itself has almost no defenses. If they open it, for Veselov, from the inside.
You can't decide anything with just a couple of men.
I thought about that. I sailed here through the Reich. The water level has already gone down. Chekhov is almost dry. And there are newspapers floating everywhere. Homer, don't they have a print shop there at Chekhov Station?
Yes, at Chekhov,
said Homer.
In the service premises.
And there's electricity there in some places. I saw it. Maybe the printing press didn't get flooded either. What if we print a leaflet instead of their little rag? Tell the people how they're being fooled. Tell them about the observers, about the jammers. What do you think? Can the two of us handle that, eh?
When I was there, they showed it to us, to me.
If we can get in there, we can use their whole system. We'll print a couple of thousand leaflets at least, and hand them out to people at Taganskaya Station, and along the way too. Read this and pass it on to someone else. At Kitai Goroth. And right there, in the leaflet, we'll tell them about the bunker. Take a crowd of people to the entrance. Veselov will open up for us, the bastard. He won't have any choice. And that's all. Let them tell the people the truth to their faces. Then we won't be alone, Letiaga. And even storming the place doesn't work immediately. The leaflets will spread round the metro anyway.
Do we have to wear the people from Taganskaya Station into the bunker?
Leocha asked.
All of them? Oui.
The more the better. Let them take a look for themselves at the cushy life these greasy bastards have and always have had. When they see that, maybe they'll believe all the rest. Eh? Right, Leocha? Can we do it, Granddad?
Theoretically, said Homer. If the paper survived, they stored it in plastic, actually, so it wouldn't get damp. It could have survived.
Okay, Letyaga. What are our boys saying? Have they already forgotten everyone the Reds trampled in the dirt?
What do you...
Letyaga sighed. How could they forget? So we have a plan. I realize it's risky, but it could work, eh?
It could,
Leocha admitted.
Do you think they'll just allow us to hand out those leaflets?
Homer asked doubtfully.
If things here are as you say, if the state hasn't disappeared, do you even have any idea what our state is like?
No. And bollocks to it anyway, Granddad. We have to try. We just have to try. We have to tell people everything. We have to let them out. Homer nodded.
And you? What are you going to do up on the surface when we go out?
He asked Artyom.
Where, at least? Have you decided?
Live. Like before all this. We'll figure that out up there. Like people. Isn't that clear?
Not very.
Homer sighed.
Take me now. I don't know what I'll do.
What difference does it make? Plant mushrooms if you like, even grain. I'm willing. If it's up there. But first of all, there's a huge world up there. You can walk right round it, find yourself a place. One after your own heart. A city. Or the shore of an ocean. Why, aren't you offended by the fact that a bunch of ghouls has decided for us that we'll never see all of this?
And they sit there guzzling sourds around the quark,
Leocha added. There has to be a reason, Letyaga reeled out again.
There is a reason. Open spaces make them feel sick and dizzy, and they keep you with them like a domesticated animal.
We'll knock them to hell out of that fucking bunker,
the apostle decided.
Your plan's okay, just as long as they don't swing us up.
Do you understand, brother? Artyom took hold of Letyaga's massive shoulder. Up there you'll do more for people. What was that oath you swore about? Helping some red-bellied rats shoot at their own people? You swore to protect people, all of them. The Metro. If we lead them out onto the surface, then that's the place where they'll really need us. The people. Because we, the Order, have experience. We know how to do things. Up there. We understand the risks. We know the wild animals, all about the radiation level. Our place is up there. Not here. Not slitting people's throats if they come here from somewhere else, but helping our people reach land that's alive. Well? Agreed?
Sure, okay. Agreed.
Letyaga mumbled. Granddad?
I don't know.
I realize it's frightening for you to go up on the surface, after being stuck underground all these years. You understand everything down here. It's kind of dark and cramped, but it's your own place already, right? And going up on top is somehow... And you're not the only one. At Komsomol, I called for people to follow me. Not a single soul believed. No one went. You're not to blame. And they're not to blame either. Those bastards in the bunker are to blame, that's who. They lied to you. They lied to all of us. They taught us to be moles. They persuaded us that we're worms. But it's all lies, and it's built on lies. If we don't tell them the truth, if you... You've got the skill. Right, Ilya Stepanich? He's got real talent. If you don't tell the truth about the dead bodies in the barrows, about the metal bars, about my tunnel, about the dogs' feeding pits, about the machine guns at Komsomol Station, who's going to tell them? No one. I know they won't believe it. Not immediately they won't. No one believed me. You still don't completely believe me. It's hard to believe something like that, but it has to be done. Let them point their fingers at us. Let them say we're fucking psychos. Let them think we're the enemy. Someone must tell them. Let them have their doubts. But what if someone does believe it, and someone follows us, eh? We have to do it for the people, even if they'll be against it right now. They'll understand later. Or what will you do, publish another fascist pamphlet?
Ilya Stepanovich didn't even show his face from behind the shell of his knees, as if he had died. When the world shattered, a piece of shrapnel had hit him in the heart.
Oh, no.
Homer shook his head.
That's all over with.
That's all, then? If we get a chance, we'll do it. Are you all with me?
Yes,
Leocha responded.
We'll fuck the bourgeoisie.
The time until the trial started coiling up into a spiral spring. The tighter it got, the slower it contracted. Artyom spoke to the jailers, demanding to see Miller. But they had black-knitted wool faces. They didn't recognize Artyom, and Miller didn't want to remember Artyom either. Why was Sviatoslav Konstantinovich dragging his feet? What was he doing? Was he erecting the gallows in advance, because he already knew how the order would vote, because he had already discussed and pondered every soldier's vote with him? But Artyom prepared anyway. He strode round the cell, stepping on the other's feet, repeating to himself everything that he had to say. He would only have one chance, to save himself, to rescue Letyaga and Leocha, to burn out the rat's nest and liberate the people from the rats. It's good that it's a comrades' court, he kept telling himself. That's the right thing. They're not stone idols. They're not made of clay or granite. Artyom might only have served 1 year with them, but that year was worth 7 others. They were all sewn tight to each other with a single red thread. Timur, Prince, Sam. Let Miller put up his gallows. It wasn't that easy to condemn your own brother to death. They arrived suddenly, and called the prisoners out one by one.
Letyaga!
The big man hunched his bearish shoulders. He let them put the handcuffs on. How was he? While Artyom was talking to him, Letyaga seemed to be picking up his furious infection and started nodding along in time. But once Artyom fell silent, Letyaga's fever subsided and passed off, unable to maintain itself. Letyaga was one of those who decide once and for all for the rest of their lives what they'll think in this life and the view they'll take of every single subject in it. And he had decided firmly a long time ago. To his thick skin, the new truth wasn't even like shotgun pellets. It was like salt.
Svonarev!
That turned out to be Leocha. There you go. Miller had managed to find out more about him than Artyom had. He wondered if the others had been questioned. They cuffed Leocha's hands, too. As they led him away, he looked back at Artyom.
Tyomich, you mustn't foul things up.
A sacred precept.
Dark!
Artyom's heart started racing. He thought he could breeze through it, but his heart was flustered and agitated anyway. That was plain stupid. A week ago you weren't counting on lasting any longer than this week, were you? So now the time's up, right? No, wrong. That wasn't going to happen. He couldn't croak now. Now was too soon. What was that you told me, Granddad? Everyone has his own end of the line? Homer raised his head. He gave a faint smile, weary and surprised.
You remembered.
I couldn't forget it.
Let's have your hands,
they barked. He held out his wrists. They wringed them.
There can be lots of ends of the line,
Homer corrected him.
But each person has only one final destination. That's what you have to find. The destination.
You don't think this is it? Artyom asked him, examining the handcuffs again.
I don't think it's the end of the line yet, said Homer.
Steely fingers squeezed Artyom's neck and bent him down closer to the floor, and they jerked his hands behind his back to make him peck better. Be seeing you, Artyom said to the old man. He ran through the corridors with his armed escorts, his eyes thrust down onto the worn granite, with the escorts doing Artyom's looking and Artyom doing their thinking. There's never a bad moment for a sermon.
"Guys, I don't know if you're ours or from Hansa. You're being tricked, all of you, all of us. Do you know about the jammers? They're only there to keep us stuck in the metro."
They stopped. A solid bone slid across his temple, and sticky tape crackled as it unrolled. They sealed off his mouth with a wide black strip, then stuck another one over it, crisscross style, and they dragged him on. Just like that. Now he broke into a sweat. What if they didn't take it off? If they didn't let him say anything? They carried him out into a hall, into Arbat Station. The station was completely full of no one but men in black. Outsiders had been asked to disperse while the order lynched its own. The men who had gathered here weren't wearing masks. Voting by roll call, Artyom guessed. Afterwards, every man would have to answer for his vote. They'd have to remember about it if it were suddenly decided to pardon him. They pushed him into an empty circle of space. Liocha and Letiaga were already there, both restrained, hands behind their backs and faces redecorated at the front. They must have wandered off course on the way here, and been given directions. Letiaga saw the black cross where Artyom's mouth should be, and started blinking his crossed eyes. Artyom jerked too. "Take it off." He started looking round for Miller to demand justice from him. And Miller was soon rolled out by Anzor. But Miller didn't even see Artyom. For some reason he kept looking in different directions. Artyom wriggled and squirmed like a tapeworm on a hot skillet with his glued-up mouth, biting at his rusty-tasting lips, so that maybe he could at least say everything through a little hole in them. But the tape was wide, and the glue had a grip of iron. They hadn't started yet. Finally, Homer and Ilya Stepanovich were pushed through the crowd. They weren't restrained. Witnesses. What testimony would they give? Artyom fixed his gaze on the burnt-out teacher. He had heard everything back there in the cell. What would he decide to tell? Had he been bought? Artyom recalled Dietmar with his simple and precise formula for winding people round his little finger. He recalled how he had slurped down swill to the repose of Dietmar's soul, remembering his premonition about Ilya Stepanovich. Again and again he tried to tear his lips apart, but everything was firmly stuck. His mouth had grown shut.
"We're ready,"
said Anzor.
"This is a hearing of a case of desertion and treason by three of our former comrades,"
Sviatoslav Konstantinovich hissed from his throne.
"Letiaga, Artyom, and a newly accepted member, Tsvonarev, acting by previous collusion. They sabotaged two highly important assignments, the goal of which was to halt a war between the Reds and the Reich, in our interest, and the interest of the entire metro. They obstructed the delivery of a dispatch with an ultimatum for the Führer, and then the operation to coerce Moskvin into peace. At the center of the collusion stands Artyom Dark. In our opinion, Letiaga simply fell under his influence. Regardless of circumstances, we demand the death penalty for Artyom. We are prepared to discuss Letiaga's case. The third accused is Artyom's hanger-on. A spy, basically. He should be liquidated, too."
"Are you totally off your walker? What have I done? Oh, Artyom!"
"Right. Is this one mentally incompetent? Restrain him."
Someone kicked Liocha from behind and shut his chipped teeth.
"But what's that on Artyom's mouth?"
someone muttered in the crowd.
"How's he going to speak for himself?"
"There are grounds for believing that he has lost his mind,"
Miller replied reluctantly.
"Don't worry, his turn will come. We'll hear him out. You'll be convinced for yourselves. Everything is clear to me as it is. But we decide fair and square, with open and general voting.
We'll start with Letyaga. Then we have the witnesses. We'll vote on Letyaga. Then on the subnormal one. Then Artyom. I wish to say specifically that this is not some kind of slapstick show. You must give your answer with all due severity. A former relative? That's not important. The man betrayed us. The law applies to everyone. I especially brought him before a comrades' court so that afterwards there wouldn't be any doubts. Is that clear?
The crowd started buzzing, but it only managed to buzz in chorus, only as a team, drawn up in ranks.
Right, Letyaga. Tell us the facts. When Artyom Dark made his first attempt to recruit you and what he said, how he made you hand over the secret dispatch, and the details of how he disrupted the negotiations with Moskvin. The men can know. We have no secrets here. And in whose interest Dark was acting.
Miller's face was as calm as a paralytic's. But with his one live arm he had clutched the rim of his chair's wheel so hard that the fingers were white. He looked at Letyaga with eyes of bronze, and his pupils were holes hollowed out in the bronze. Letyaga stepped forward like a bear on a chain. He moved his head about and squinted guiltily at Artyom. He breathed out noisily, expelling surplus air. Looked down at the granite. The crowd was silent. Artyom couldn't part his lips. Lyocha was chewing on bloody jelly.
We watched Artyom for a long time,
Letyaga began.
All last year, we knew that he went up onto the surface several times a week. He walked out of the exhibition of Economic Achievement Station and went to the tricolor high-rises out along the Yaroslav Highway. We had a position fitted out opposite them. We watched. Several times a week he tried to make contact by radio.
Letyaga was selling him out. As Artyom listened, he jabbed his tongue against the bitter glue and bleated through his nostrils. The helplessness pressed down on him heavily. Like cold, sharp-edged, crushed stone, like damp, freshly chopped soil, weighing down on his legs, on his arms, on his chest. Artyom's comrades were here, Sam, Stiopa, Timur, Prince. He thought he glimpsed Anya, squeezed in behind the men's shoulders. He looked closer. Was it really her? He lost her.
You know,
Letyaga said,
that the war with the West isn't over. That they're just waiting for us to give ourselves away. Of course, we immediately suspected that Artyom was trying to get in contact with someone there. To unmask us, perhaps even to direct attacks against us. He was a new man. And the colonel said, watch him, regardless of, well, in a nutshell, and this other business, with the radio center, you've already heard about it, probably.
The men started rustling. Anya. Anya appeared. She tore herself out of someone's clawed hand and squeezed through into the front row. She fixed her eyes on Artyom and held him in their grip.
You're wondering,
Miller said severely.
First tell about the dispatch.
Yes. Well, it's like this. Basically, everything was more or less clear about Artyom, that he was probably working for the enemy, with the goal of destabilizing the situation, exposing Moscow, directing their fire, and with the dispatch...
Artyom jerked and squirmed, but he was held firmly. And there wasn't even a tiny little hole in his mouth for him to say something to Letyaga about A-. And anyway, Letyaga had already repaid that debt. And Artyom had borrowed a load of blood from Besalov. But what for? So he could hobble to the noose on his own? Letyaga didn't want to see him anymore. He was already speaking clearly and concisely as if he was playing on a disc. In the crowd, occasional men whom Artyom knew were already squinting at him as if he was a stranger, some kind of poisonous creature that should be crushed.
"And what happened with Moskvin?"
Miller asked.
"With Moskvin?"
Letyaga repeated after him.
The story with Moskvin was this. Artyom dragged me out of the bunker when we were stuck in there, fighting Korbut and his specials. When we buried number 10, Android, Ullman, Red, Antonchik.
I remember all of them, Miller interrupted. Don't go on.
Yes, you remember all of them. You've got that list, we've all seen it, and I almost croaked there. And Artyom said to me, do you realize that we just brought cartridges, 20,000 cartridges, to the Reds, to Moskvin? That we brought them to the bastards who killed our boys, on Miller's orders, I realized that we'd sold their memory. I realized what they died for nothing. That it was politics.
Lechaga.
That politics is more important. That it's war yesterday, peace today. It's too bad the boys all croaked for nothing yesterday when there was a war, because today there's peace. Today we'll load those scumbags' guns with 20,000 cartridges, so tomorrow they can mow down the rest of our boys with them when there's a war again.
That's enough.
And then Artyom said, there aren't any Reds or fascists at all, and there isn't any order. There's only this sort of structure, the invisible observers, or fuck knows who, it makes no difference, and we're one section of this structure, and the Reds are another. And it wasn't a genuine war, and the defense of the bunker was a lot of crap. It's all a show. And what I wonder is, maybe drinking vodka with our dead boys is all a show too.
Lechaga!
Let him speak!
Someone shouted from the crowd.
Let him have the floor. Lechaga's our man, one of us, don't shut his mouth.
Let him go, what's the problem?
Right, Lechaga has finished. And by the way, both my legs, and Artyom said, so, where was Hansa in the bunker then? Why did they only help us out with men afterwards and not when we asked them? And is that what he traded his legs for?
Lechaga for commander!
Someone roared. And then there was a raid click from somewhere, and Lechaga sprayed a red stain onto the beautiful white wall behind him. He spurted red, went limp, sat down, and stretched out face down on the floor. The back of his head had disappeared, and a crater of flesh had opened up in its place. And one exactly like it immediately opened up somewhere in Artyom's soul.
Lechaga!
Lechaga! This is Hansa!
Smash Hansa!
Someone flying by swept Miller out of his armchair. He fell on the granite not far from the thick puddle and started twitching his arm like a cockroach turned over on its back, trying to get up. The wheels spun and the spokes flashed, but men were already clashing above him, indistinguishable from each other, but everyone knowing for certain who was against him and who was with him. They grabbed Artyom, dragged him away, tore off the tape and let him speak, shielding him with their chests. They dragged out Leocha, and Artyom dragged out Homer. Now they were in a circle of friends. The men were fighting brutally with bare hands. No one was allowed to bring weapons into the court apart from the escorts and executioners.
A chance! A chance!
Artyom yelled into Leocha's ear as they were unlocking Leocha's bracelets with the keys grabbed from the escorts.
We take the men to Tsvetnoy and Homer to the Reich, to the print shop. We'll do everything according to plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Leocha yelled. The two waves that had clashed started separating, moving apart from the line of schism. One took dead Lechaga with it, the other took Miller, twisting his arm about, and the invalid chair with the bent wheels. But Artyom couldn't run off with all the others yet. He darted out of the crowd and started looking round.
Where was she?
Hey! Hey!
Someone bawled to him from that direction. They showed her to him, grabbed by the hair, with her shirt torn. Anya.
Where's the ringleader? Give us Dark. We've got his wife.
Anya!
Come over here, creep, or we'll rip her foul mouth. We'll let everyone here shag the bitch. Got that? Crawl over here to us, you shit. Don't you dare.
Anya was jerking about and cursing them. One bruised eye was already turning black. The brown nipple of one breast protruded in pitiful defiance. Artyom caught hold of Homer's hand.
Leaflets, about the jammers, about the survivors, about the observers, about how we're all being duped. The truth, Granddad.
Homer nodded.
Leocha, you know his face. Besselov, Sasha's fancy man, there's no one but you. Take some men from here, to Tsvetnoy. Get that rat to...
That's enough, Dark!
Either he lets you in, or you waste him there and then. Don't touch her, you motherfuckers!
Leocha blinked.
That's it.
Artyom shouted to the men.
That's it, I'm coming! I'm coming to you, let her go! Well?
He and Anya met for half a second, between two opposed poles of black. Met and parted. Chapter 22 The Truth. Arbat's absent population came seething out of the passages on its way back to the station. The cordon that was keeping it well away from the rigged trial had gotten involved in the general affray. The order's dissenters withdrew from the station in various directions. Artyom, squeezed in between strangers, couldn't see this any longer, but he shouted to everyone from behind the blank, black backs.
The world is still there! We're not alone! They're deceiving you! You can leave the metro! They're lying to you! Don't believe them!
Then they fastened his mouth shut again. The men in the order who had remained loyal to Miller withdrew to his embassy at Arbat Station. They seated the crumpled colonel on his bent wheelchair and set him in his legitimate place, that office with the shot glass and the lists. Artyom and Ilya Stepanovich, who had also been noted down as a mutineer, were held in a cubbyhole beside Miller's reception area. They were guarded by unfamiliar soldiers. Men walked into the colonel's office and inquired behind the loosely closed door whether it was time to do away with the prisoners. But Sviatoslav Konstantinovich postponed his decision. A cold draft wandered along the corridor, carrying tatters of conversations in through cracks under the doors. Some from the station, others from the colonel's office. They could hear an agitated crowd accumulating at Arbat. People were telling each other what had happened to the order and repeating Artyom's bellowing in a cracked echo. It was a good thing that he'd handed himself over in exchange for Anya, Artyom thought. If only she had escaped. Ilya Stepanovich goggled at the men in black. He was shuddering violently. There was a smell of urine. Maybe he was imagining to himself for the time being the way a bullet would drill its way into his forehead. But he wasn't whining at all, just muttering, almost inaudibly.
Of course, he can do anything he likes. His daughter has no fingers. Did he hand her over? No, he kept her. He probably sees her, watches her growing up, plays with her. And his wife is alive. She didn't hang herself with her tights. She's not dangling from the ceiling, with her tongue sticking out, her black tongue.
One of the men guarding them had a watch on his right wrist. On its topsy-turvy hands, Artyom noted infinity. He calculated how much time Homer would need to reach the Reich. Working remotely, Artyom figured out the workings of the printing press with him, looked for dry paper, and dictated the text to the old man. They didn't even have to carry the leaflets throughout the whole metro. If they could deliver them to Polis and Svetnoy, at least everything would creep farther on from there of its own accord. Apart from Lyocha and Homer, no one knew about the plan. All the Hanzans in the order were here, with Miller, holding back the swarm that was pressing forward. A voice barked in the office.
Call Besolov's number, again. I need to talk to him in person.
Lost, knocked out of his chariot and off his stride, he kept trying to call his master. He couldn't get through. So Lyocha still had a chance to find Besolov before Miller located him. And then, after dropping Homer off at Chekhov station in his own mind, Artyom rode on remotely with Lyocha to the brothel. Operating remotely, he stole through the hubbub and the whoring under cover of the order's veterans, invisibly cordoned off Sasha's little shanty, and finished off his former unsuccessful attempt on Besolov's life for Lyocha and himself. No, he took him hostage and led a combat team to the bunker.
Dial him again. Again!
The inverted minute hand moved backwards. It measured off half an hour, three quarters, an hour. The droning in the station was growing louder. The local administrators, who had been sent by the managers of Polis, shouted at people uncertainly. But the gawkers didn't want to disperse. They asked the cordon what had happened, and who the madman was who had howled about survivors in other cities on the earth.
And what did mine have? A little tail. The tail could have been removed right there. Such a sweet little mite.
Now Ina said, let's call her after your mother if it's a girl. Marina, that is. Marina Ilinichna. Marina Ilinichna Shkurkina.
Artyom suddenly realized that Ilya Stepanovich wasn't talking to himself. He was telling Artyom about it, even though he wasn't looking him in the eyes. Artyom shook his head in agreement. But he was thinking his own thoughts.
Shut your gob, a guard wheezed to Ilya. My head's splitting from all your muttering. Shut it, I said, or I'll whack you right here. We've got to waste both of you anyway.
Marina Ilinichna,
Ilya whispered then, too quietly for the guard to hear, but clearly enough for Artyom.
Little Marina Ilinichna, her grandmother would have been delighted.
But would Leocha be able to grab Veselov and take him through half the metro as a prisoner? After all, he hadn't been specially trained for that. He was a broker, not a soldier or a killer. Back at the radio center he had managed somehow, but there they had been shooting at him, and he didn't have to plan anything, only survive and get out of a tight corner. Never mind. He could do it. The veterans would help. He'd be able to explain everything to them, wouldn't he? He would. That was what an apostle was for. He had been through everything together with Artyom. He didn't have to be convinced. Nothing had to be proved to him. He remembered everything. He felt everything himself.
I don't give a rat's ass if he doesn't answer. Keep calling.
What if Veselov had already been taken? What if they were already dragging that louse with a bag over his head towards the secret entrance of their rusty bunker from down and out Taganskaya station? If only Homer was in time with the leaflets. But even without the leaflets, he knew everything as well, didn't he? If the print shop couldn't be brought back to life, he could do it himself and tell everyone about everything. Like that other Homer, the real one. Someone scrambled at the outside of the door. They walked in, preoccupied and sullen, three of them. One Brahmin in a robe, one military officer in a tall peaked cap with a double-headed eagle, and some kind of civilian. They knocked at Miller's office and mumbled outside the door in collective anxiety. They were also looking for an answer to certain questions. Something was maturing out there in the station, fermenting, taking shape, rising up, and the three who had been sent to Miller wanted to halt this fermentation and keep a lid on it. Miller barked back raggedly and angrily. The office door opened slightly.
We'll call a session of the Council of Police. We have no right to remain silent. Let everyone speak there, and then we'll inform the population, in accordance with the outcome. And this schism of yours, deal with it yourself somehow.
And what if the Reich really is a fake?
Ilya interrupted.
If Yevgeny Petrovich himself is a fake, and a traitor, if everything they have there is fake, then what about me? What do I do? What did they do that to Marina with her little tail for? And what did Marina hang herself with her tights for? And why did it happen to me, and what for? They tell me write, but write what? How can you write that down? What words can you use?
But Artyom's mouth was stuffed with rotten rags. He couldn't answer, and he couldn't even ask Ilya Stepanovich to be quiet. The unshorn Brahmin rustled towards the way out, sweeping the dust with his robe. The officer strode after him, smelling of stale sweat and unwashed underwear, and the unidentified civilian trotted by last. The end of the audience.
Get through to him.
The Trinity wafted away, fitted through a doorway compressed to the size of a matchbox at the end of the corridor, and emerged to the people.
The truth!
Blazed in from outside through the open door. Ilya Stepanovich got up along the wall and reached out in the direction of the shouting, leaning himself bodily towards it. But a wolf-faced man stopped him short and planted a fist in his solar plexus. And everything slammed shut again. There. Look, the people finally wanted to know, and Artyom had a stinking rag in his mouth again. That was okay. Now others could speak for him, both speak and act. He had sent out messengers in all directions. Now it wasn't so terrible to croak. He could hear those three taking turns to purr something soothing to the awakened crowd. It shouted questions. It didn't want lullabies. Thanks, Latyaga, Artyom thought. A pity you died. Strange that you died. How come you'll never squint at me again with that eye of yours? You won't be able to crack jokes. Who can I borrow blood from now? Forgive me for doubting you at the very last moment, Latyaga. But then you doubted me at the very last moment, didn't you? You doubted, but you said everything right, so they would take the noose off my neck. A pity you can't hear the people out there in the station, asking for the truth. The two of us will open the hermetic doors for them now, you and me. Together we'll let them up and out. And somewhere, the others, our conspirators, are doing their own bit. Homer's printing leaflets, the apostles leading Besseloff along with a gun barrel pressed against his pale temple to unseal the bunker. Let Miller thrash about frantically here, a dog without a master. What are they going to talk about at the Council of Police? About how to press the lid down tighter and screw it on? About how to crush all the rebels quickly, one by one, so the rumors of the resurrected world won't spread through the metro?
Call! Call anywhere you like. Call Svetnoy.
They won't crush all of them.
Tell us!
Voices bellowed outside.
Are you telling the truth?
Ilya Stepanovich asked Artyom.
Everything that you told Homer, is it true?
Artyom nodded to him. What was being smelted inside the little teacher's head? What was it being cast into? The owner of the watch, two shifty eyes in holes, kept raising the hands to his face more and more often. A presentiment of the solidifying irreversibility of everything that was happening in the metro leaked out through the cracks from the colonel's office into this lobby of the reception area. He thought about Anya again, about how stubborn her love had proved to be. Artyom was arranged differently on the inside. He'd felt the first coolness from Anya and started cooling in response, as if he couldn't radiate love himself, but only reflected Anna's love with his own concave soul. He sensed the diffused light of attention on him, gathered it into a beam and directed it back. He inflamed her with it, and gathered more warmth in reply. But the moment Anya started to fade, he had nothing to repay her with. And her light had grown feebler and feebler like that, until it went out completely, and he stopped believing. Until their future dried out and crumbled away in his mind. But Anya's heart seemed to work the other way round, back to front. It seemed like she didn't need him any longer, because of his mean-spirited deafness, his malign obstinacy, his unwillingness to compromise on his own idiotic dreams and his disdain for hers. Maybe she really had been thinking of dropping Artyom first. The wick only had enough oil left on it to smoke. But as soon as he left, she had flared up again, with obdurate desperation. So intensely that the heat had started grilling his eyes, and he wanted to cover them with his hand. He had covered them, and the heat still reached him anyway. Anya was reflected in it, crookedly and comically. But the image was growing clearer and brighter. Love. What a strange fuel.
No answer!
Maybe there's nowhere for you to call now, Dad. Enough time has gone by. If the Apostle got lucky, if he's done everything just right, maybe the bunker has already been taken and gutted. The fat rats have already been lined up in ranks at Taganskaya Station, in their stupid outfits. And they're reciting their latest geography lesson for the teacher, like school kids.
Answer!
Anzor walked in and looked Artyom and Ilya up and down with a hostile glare. He listened to Sviatoslav Konstantinovich's barking and rolled him out, skipping along on the wobbly wheelchair into the corridor.
"What do we do with these?"
asked the one with the watch.
"I haven't decided yet. After the council,"
Miller hissed without turning round. He hadn't gotten through on the phone.
"Do we keep them here?"
"Yes." "No, wait. Let me take them with me. They might come in useful. Only make sure they keep their mouths shut."
They took them under the arms and lifted them off the floor, Artyom with his taped-up mouth and Ilya with his pissed pants, and led them out into gleaming Arbat station. They formed up in a wedge and forced their way through the crowd. They marched through the whole station defiantly. They turned deaf and didn't hear the people shouting to them. The Council of Police convened right here. That was why Miller required an office at Arbat station. The entire formation remained outside. Artyom and Ilya weren't summoned into the council either. The order formed up like a hedgehog, with its bristles raised to close off the entrance to Rubberneckers. Miller and Anzor went in. Then a few late Brahmins walked through, and the doors closed.
"They say they picked up some signals or other," voices rustled on all sides. "It seems like we're not the only ones who survived." "But where else? Who? Who said so?"
"That will all be clear when they come out. They're conferring."
"But how could something like that happen? They haven't said anything all these years, and then take that..."
"The Order found out. There was a skirmish over whether to tell or not."
"But who are they? On the bench? Who's the one tied up?"
"They caught some terrorists. They'll tell us soon."
Artyom couldn't see the people whispering. Instead of them, he saw identical black backs, the shoulder straps of bulletproof vests, the woolly backs of heads, and wide-straddled boots. But he could sense them. Their curiosity set the air ringing. The oxygen was burning up. The walls were closing in. There were hundreds of them here. Just let Miller try to make them wait for his answers. Suddenly there was a commotion. Someone was forcing his way through the crush, skillfully and determinedly.
"To the council! Make way!"
The men in the cordon were confused too. At first they grabbed hold of each other tighter than ever. Then they swayed doubtfully. Was that Timur's voice? A comrade of Letyaga and Artyom, another schismatic, Timur. He had left together with Leocha and Homer, with rescued Anya. Why was he here? Why'd he come back? He was storming the bunker right now. Or had he already taken it? Had he brought Besseloff's severed head to the council session?
"Make way, by invitation of the council!"
The cordon tore open. They let Timur through into the circle, and together with him, Prince and Luka, both from the old team. Timur noticed Artyom on the bench and nodded to him, but didn't intervene for him. He walked inside. Luka and Prince stayed on guard. What were they talking about? What were they haggling over? Stalling for time? Setting ultimatums? Begging for forgiveness? Studying the head on a dish? Inside there was silence. Had all of the men there been poisoned?
"Make way! Make way to the council!"
Who was it this time? The crowd parted less willingly now, without the same respect, grumbling. "Why the hell should we?" Artyom craned his neck. The black circle didn't part immediately for these people either. He didn't see him immediately. The first one to step through the cordon was Besseloff, alive, pale, intense and silent. Leocha the Apostle appeared behind him. Alexei Felixovich cast a gloomy glance over Artyom, but didn't greet him. Leocha, on the contrary, nodded. They both walked inside. Had the Apostle brought a hostage? There were another two members of the Order with him. They stayed outside. Artyom leapt up off the bench and started shouting his questions into the rag. They struck him behind the knees to make him fall back again, and he fell. Luka and Prince hissed at the man who chopped him down, and they all grabbed their holsters. They waited for a moment, and then eased back. Everything was being decided behind the doors now, and not here. It was getting really stuffy, like at Komsomol station, like right in front of the machine guns. People pressed forward and the cordon shrank slowly, although it had no right to yield its positions. The bronze chandeliers, hoops 2 meters wide that weighed half a ton, seemed to sway on their chains as if in a wind. So many people here were breathing in and out in unison. Suddenly, a different sound flew across the station. A cough. The soldiers in the cordon roused themselves. The crowd fell silent and started gazing round, staccato coughing from numerous speakers at the same time. It turned out that this place also had its own public address system.
"Testing, testing, 1-2-1-2,"
right across the station, in a deep, pleasant voice.
"Dear citizens, your attention, please. An important announcement will be made shortly. Do not disperse."
"Give us the truth! Tell us the truth!"
they shouted back to the invisible announcer. But he merely cleared his throat and fell silent.
"Something important! Could it really be? Mind-blowing!"
It was only when time came to a complete stop that the door opened. A fat man wearing a brown suit walked out into the black circle with a businesslike air. His eyes were glassed in, and his broad forehead swept back and up in a humped bridge to the back of his head. His assistant gave the fat man a hoist up, and he scrambled onto the marble bench beside Artyom. That way the crowd could see him.
"The chairman of the council! Himself!"
Then Miller and Ansor appeared in the doorway, with Timur following. They separated, moving away from the bench in opposite directions. The fat man blew his nose. He wiped his sweaty forehead with the snotty handkerchief, then used it to clean his lenses and set his glasses back on the bridge of his nose.
"Citizens, we have gathered here today. The reason was a rather unpleasant event. Within the highly respected order which is called upon to safeguard all of us, there has been a disagreement, so to speak. We'll come back to that in a while."
"Stop pussyfooting about! Give it to us straight!"
"Yes, of course. Straight to the essence. The point is that we have established, it is absolutely incredible, of course, but we have incontrovertible proof, which we will present in due course, have no doubt about that. Well then, we have established quite certainly that Moscow is not the only city to have survived in the last war. We have intercepted a radio broadcast."
The crowd was struck dumb. The sounds died, all the other sounds apart from the tedious, musty voice of the man in brown. Mute Artyom looked up at him as if he was an oracle, the way he had looked at Lechaga before the shot, as if he was a saint.
"We are prepared to allow you to listen to it, but first a few words. From me personally, as for all of you, this is a genuine shock. The point is that the broadcast comes from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Dear citizens, comrades, brothers, you understand what that means. It means that the enemy who annihilated our country, who sent 140 million of our compatriots to their graves, parents, children, wives, husbands, that enemy is still alive. He wasn't finished off. The war is not yet over. None of us can feel safe anymore. A new final blow could be struck at us at any moment if we betray our presence in any way at all."
Artyom bellowed and roared, slipped off the bench and fell on the cold floor.
"For all these years, only one thing has saved us. The fact that we lived in the metro. The fact that we were certain the surface was not fit for us to live there. Thanks to that, we have survived. And now it is our only chance to continue to survive. I know. It is frightening. It is hard to believe. But I am asking you to believe it. The Council of Police is asking you. Listen for yourselves. This is the recording that we made today. It is New York broadcasting."
The speakers came back to life. They sneezed. And a song thundered out. a strange, alien kind of song in a foreign language with drums and whooping, with trumpet fanfares and bugles. In a broken rhythm, a man's voice started half wailing, half reciting something between a hymn and a march. He was supported by a female choir. The song reverberated with an irrepressible strength. There was a defiant challenge in it, and a malign joy, and a savage, vital energy. It was music to which you had to move and dance to, dissolutely, licentiously. But no one under the half-ton chandeliers in the immense hall of white stone could stir a muscle. The chandeliers swayed as if in an earthquake. The people breathed in the thunder of drums and breathed out horror.
"As you can see, here, for yourselves, there it is, the bestial music of cavemen. In other words, while we suffer our privation, they continue with their debauchery. And in addition, we have information that they have preserved their nuclear potential. This is an enemy who is 100 times more dangerous. This is something we still have to grasp. Now our life can hardly remain as it was. This is the beginning of a new era. And in this connection, here is a declaration. Gather round."
Timur, black hair with gray streaks, slim and sinewy, came over to the brown chairman. He leaned down to Artyom and helped him sit up. Then he climbed up on the bench.
"The veterans of the Order are outraged by the arbitrary actions of our former commander, Colonel Miller. Our comrade was killed by his henchmen, instead of being given a fair trial. We apologize to the citizens of Polis for the disturbances. We announce our withdrawal from the command structure. We refuse to obey the orders of Colonel Miller."
Timur was speaking jerkily, in a husky smoker's voice. The best intelligence officer in the Order. Letiaga's senior colleague and teacher. What was he planning?
"The base of the Order at Smolensk Station remains ours. We will hold an honest election for new commanders. However, we consider that in the new circumstances, a continuation of conflict is impermissible. Therefore, as a new command, we swear an oath of allegiance directly to the Council of Polis. We swear to be loyal and undertake to defend Polis against all enemies, both overt and covert."
He swung round towards the man in brown and saluted him. First, a single clap rang out, then another, and then, like a scattering downpour, there came a rustling, a pattering, a drumming.
"Bravo!
Hurrah!
Glory!"
"Idiot!"
Artyom roared at Timur with his stuffed mouth.
"You great idiot! There isn't any Polish! There isn't any castle! You're just swearing loyalty to a different head! Don't believe them!"
Timur looked at him and nodded.
"We'll get you away from them too, Tyoma. We'll fight side by side against the Yanks yet."
"I disagree with the way the question has been posed," Miller said gravely from his bent wheelchair. "But I'm willing to close my eyes to that. I will not consider this a mutiny. Temporary disagreements, let us say. When the homeland is in danger, we have no right to petty squabbles. We'll resolve things by negotiation. Our order has already paid too high a price. I also swear loyalty in the name of the order to the Council of Polis. I believe that the time for internal strife is over. We no longer have any right to slaughter each other. Reds, fascists, Hansa. First and foremost, we are Russian people. We have to remember that. We are under threat from our arch enemy. He doesn't care what we believe in. As soon as he finds out that we are still alive, he will annihilate us all without any distinction."
People listened and took it all in. No one argued or even dared to whisper. Artyom leaned his weight forward and got up onto his knees. He swayed and managed to stand up, and before the guards, spellbound by Miller, realized what was happening. He took a short run up and butted Miller in the temple, tumbling him over onto the ground, together with his wheelchair.
"Hold him! Hold him!"
They started beating Artyom, and he tried to catch hold of the old idiot's neck with his legs, to squeeze, crush him, and strangle him. They broke out one of his teeth, and the gag fell out.
"Lies! You're lying, you bastards!"
There was no way to squeeze through the tightly packed crowd, and the men in black started dragging Artyom inside through the doors. They picked Miller up and dusted him off.
"You little shit! You scum! I'll grind you to dust! You trash! You and that ungrateful bitch! You'll both hang! You mildew! It's lies! All lies!"
Timur explained for him.
"This is an arrested saboteur. We have grounds for believing that he was spying, trying to expose us. We're checking."
Eventually, they loaded the colonel into his wheelchair and dragged Artyom inside. On that side of the doors, a long corridor with numerous exits began. They dumped Artyom immediately. And from there, in a seizure, he listened.
"Yes, Sviatoslav Konstantinovich."
The brown chairman swayed his heavy head with its receding hair.
"You have spoken the golden words of a man who knows the value of human life. In this and all other matters, I am in complete solidarity with you. I suggest that we dispatch our diplomats to the Red Line, Hansa, and the representatives of the Reich today without delay, and get everyone sitting round the negotiating table to put an end to the disagreements that have plagued us for all these years. When all said and done, we're not so very different. We have to stick together now, combine our forces, and together, collectively, we, you, must defend the Metro. Our only home. Our common home. Our only home for the decades to come. If we wish to survive. Our sacred home forever."
"Not so very different,"
Ilya Stepanovich repeated after him in horror.
"We're not so very different. Us and them. First and foremost, Russian people stick together for what? What for? To the representatives of the Reich? Narinishka."
But the crowd chewed up his mumbling. Battered and bruised at first by this revelation, now it was beginning to straighten up, understanding and mulling over what had been pumped into it.